I was thinking about this. I was sitting in my office on Thursday, and before we went out and downstairs, and just sitting there and thinking about this, and I was just looking over some notes and some things that I had, and I just started to think about, you know, the Lord saving me and the gospel and the power of God. Amen. And it made me weep because I know what I was and where I've come from. And we can never take for granted that everyone around us is saved. We can never take for granted that people don't need the gospel given to them, even in our ministry, as strongly as we preach and we go out on the streets, we do other things. But you know what? They need to hear the gospel. Amen. And nothing wrong with having the gospel in the assembly even once in a while. So we praise the Lord for that. And we're going to do that. So let's turn. I want to give you the gospel truth. This I'm just going to call this the gospel, which is able to save your soul, and something to that effect. And I find it fascinating that right here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18, we find one verse that has the gospel message right in it. Amen. And the Bible says this: "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you'd be with us here this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this. I pray that you'd use it, Lord. I pray that it would go out wherever you send it, Lord, that it would be a blessing to those that hear it, Lord, that some may be saved, Lord, that it would be used to reach those that are lost and dying and dead in their sins. And Lord, I pray if there be any here today that are lost and dead and dying in their sins, that dear God, you'd break their hearts. Dear God, you'd humble them, bring them down, that you would save their souls, Lord. And we pray, Father, and we thank you for that gospel which is able to save our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says this, that Christ hath once suffered for sins. Christ Jesus once suffered for sins. That's the first point that I want to make to you here this morning, is that you understand it very clearly, that the gospel is what? That Jesus Christ once suffered for sins. Once. Amen. Once and for all, right? Once and for all. Suffered for sins. You know, that shouldn't be a flippant point with you and I. That should be driven home into our hearts. We understand. If you've never heard this before, you'll hear it now. That Jesus Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 26 says this: "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Amen. He once put away sin by the sacrifice. Jesus Christ suffered for sin. You understand that? For the sins of the world, the Bible says. Not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ, mark that down. Put it in your mind. Let it sink deep into your hearts that Jesus Christ suffered for sin. What is sin? Sin is that transgression of the law of God. The Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. And this is what Christ suffered for, was sin. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 28, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Amen. The Bible says, for Christ once suffered. He was once offered to bear the sins of many. You say, how many sins did he bear on that cross? All of them. All of them. All of them. Every single one of them. Once and for all. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, please. I'm going to read you a great portion of this. Hebrews chapter 10. I never get tired of the gospel story. You should never get tired of that old story. The story, the gospel which is able to save your soul. Christ had to suffer. Why? Because the law could never take away sin. That's why. No matter how much you try to obey, no matter how good you try to be, no matter what you say, I've got good works. You know what? You might have as many good works as you can possibly do in your life, but it won't be enough. Christ had to suffer for sins. And the law couldn't. The law couldn't justify a man. The Bible says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of goats, the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou hast had no pleasure. Do you see that? In burnt offerings and sacrifices thou hast had no pleasure. They couldn't redeem them. If you try to be saved by the old covenant, by the law, you will die in your sins and go to a devil's hell for all of eternity. You will die in your sins. That's why he came. That's why he came, to suffer for sins and to suffer for sinners on the cross. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. And what was that will? To suffer for sins. That was the will of God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He took away that first covenant. Why? Because that first covenant could not save your soul. It took Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sins to save your soul. You can't be good enough. You can't do right. You can't. It's not possible for you to be acceptable in the sight of God outside of Christ suffering for sins. Then said he, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Look at this. Once for all. Settle it in your mind and your heart that if Jesus Christ has saved your soul, if he has forgiven your sins, then it is once and for all. Nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken away from it. It is once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. You know, there are people today, and you are out there today, and some of you, and you are trying to do these good works to take away your sins. You are even offering sacrifices. Oh, you say, no, they're not the blood of goats and bulls. No, it's not that. You're trying to do good works. You're trying for your works, your good works to outweigh your bad works, which is impossible because you're filthy. And God will not cleanse you. God will not forgive your sins unless Jesus Christ suffered on the cross for your sins. You will be dirty and defiled. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Are you seeing a pattern here? Jesus Christ offered once and for all. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever. Did you see? Look at this. Wherefore, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Forever. He perfected it. Forever. Sure does. It sure does. My friends, listen to me. You have to understand something. No matter where you are or wherever you, whenever you hear this message, you understand one thing. That priest cannot pull Christ down from heaven and save your soul. He cannot continually offer something up to God because it is blasphemy and it cannot save your soul. Jesus Christ suffered once for all. It cannot be added to and it cannot be taken away from. Once for all. The law could never take away sin, but the Bible says that Jesus offered himself to fulfill all righteousness. And I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ's blood is sufficient to cover all sin. I've talked to people before and they tried to tell me, you know what, Jesus Christ's blood can't cover all sins. That's not of the Bible. My friend, you either believe what the Bible says or you don't. But if you don't, you're going to die in your sins.
Amen.
Because you are yet in your sins. If you trust a priest to take a wafer and to turn it into the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, and take that blood, that juice, or that wine, and turn it into the body and the blood of Christ, then you will die in your sins, because Christ suffered once for all.
Amen.
And He suffered for your sins. Number two, the Bible says this, the just for the unjust. What does it mean to be just? Christ was just. And what does it mean? Christ is just. And what does that mean? He is righteous. He is holy. He is just. He is declared just. Why? Because He is God.
Amen.
Fully. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. The just for the unjust. The Bible says, for all fall short of the glory of God. Turn to Romans chapter 3, verse number 23. What does the Bible say here? Very, very clearly. I want you to look at it. If you're listening online, go to your Bible, read it. If you're lost today, my friend, this could be the greatest day of your life.
Amen.
Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned. And verse number 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, fall short. What does that mean? Thou art found weighed in the balances and found wanting. You don't measure up. You can't measure up. You are guilty before God, and you are unjust in the sight of God. And it took that perfect, holy one, that holy child, Jesus Christ, to come and to die on the cross for your sins. Because you are unjust. Romans chapter 7, verse number 18. Paul said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Paul said there was nothing good about him. Listen, this could be the greatest day of your life when you wake up and see the fact that there's nothing good in you, in your flesh. That you are lost and dying and on your way to hell. That you are not good enough. You say, I try to be good. I realize what you're trying to do. And that's a great thing that you're trying to do some good things. But let me tell you something. You are still going to die in your sins and go to a devil's hell. Because you can't be good enough. For you fall short of the glory of God. And only the glory of God upon your soul will you see heaven. Only with the glory of God upon your soul. Without his righteousness.
You shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. He won't. What does the Bible say? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned our own way. Right? Turn to Isaiah first. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 64. You say, but I try to do righteous. I try to be righteous. I've had so many people tell me, I try to do good works. I try to do all these things. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 6. The just for the unjust, right? Christ died the just for the unjust. Listen. The Bible says that He fulfilled all righteousness to die on the cross. That's what He was doing. So you and I, the just for the unjust. That which is perfect for that which is dirty and defiled before God. Verse number 6, but we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Do you understand what that means? All our righteousness as filthy rags. Filthy, putrid, bloody garments. Blood is the dirtiest, most defiling thing.
And that's what God is saying that you and I are. All our righteousness, all of your good works, everything you've tried to do in your life to make God happy or to please God or anything else, all of it is unrighteousness. All that righteousness is nothing but filthy rags to God. Filthy, putrid rags. Disgusting, defiled rags. You say, why is that? Because if the root is bad, then the fruit is bad. And man is unjust. He is dirty and defiled. He is wicked before God. And turn to Isaiah chapter 53, please. This is the just dying for the unjust. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. This is Christ. This is Christ, my friend. This is talking about that sinless, perfect Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Amen. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Look at this. Speaking of Christ, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Yes, the just for the unjust. Wounded for our transgressions, for your wicked sin and my wicked sin. He was wounded. You know that sin that you think it's okay to continue in? That sin that you think God just overlooked? No! No sin was ever overlooked. It's either paid for or you'll spend eternity in a devil's hell! There's no such thing as little sin. God hates all of it, and God judges all sin. And he judges it in the lake of fire, or he judges it upon the merit of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, the just for the unjust. How can you make such a little thing of your sin? How do you and I make such a little thing of sins? How do we make such a little thing of transgressing God's law when he smote his own son? He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. The just for the unjust. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All your sin, all your iniquity is either on you or on him. If your sins today, if your transgressing of God's law, if you're breaking one of God's Ten Commands or his law, anything of those things, if you've done it in your heart, you've done it already. Anything like that. If any of those sins are upon you, you will spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's where you end up. That's where sin, that's the judgment of sin. That's where you end up. Or, all of your sin will be upon Christ and was upon Christ at the cross because he bore it all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He opened not his mouth. He took it all. He bore it all on the cross. All of your sins, all of them. His nature was heavenly. He had no sin nature. He was not born of a man. His Father is God. and God is holy. Jesus Christ is the Holy One. In Peter, in the book of Acts, what did Peter say? He said, "Thy holy child, Jesus," didn't he? That's what he said. The just for the unjust. The one who knew no sin, the one who did no wrong, the one who did nothing to deserve what he got. You did everything and he took it. Because he was holy and he was righteous. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Righteousness is only found in Christ. Your own righteousness, it's filthy. It's abominable. Detested, and God hates it. Luke chapter 1, verse number 35 says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God."
Amen.
That's the Holy One that came. That's Jesus Christ who died for your sins, the just for the unjust. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 26 says, "For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." The just for the unjust. That's who Christ is, and that's what he did. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 17 and 18. "Wherefore in all things it behooves him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest to things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted." Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Do you understand, my friend, that he was tempted with every temptation that you have been, and where you have failed God and I have failed God, he did not fail God.
Amen.
He was tempted, but he never gave in. That's why the Bible says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Ever liveth. So he was the just for the unjust. He died. Why? That he might bring us to God. That's why. That he might bring us to God. Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5. Verse number 8. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died for sinners. "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him." Think about that. Verse number 10. For if when we were enemies," that's right. See, why do we have to be brought? Why did he come that he might bring us to God? Because you're an enemy. You're an alien to God. You are an enemy combatant. You are at war against God. The Bible says you must be reconciled to God, like we talked about before. You must be reconciled to God, brought at one. The atonement must have been made so you could come in the presence of God. Because right now you are an enemy of God if you're lost. So I can't believe I'm an enemy of God. Well, if you've sinned and your sin is upon your soul, then you are an enemy of God. And God is holy and cannot look upon your sin. That's why Jesus Christ came, that he might bring us to God. The whole purpose of Christ's coming was to bring us to God. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul said, "Of whom I am chief." That was his purpose. The only way you and I can be at one with God is that which is perfect had to die for the imperfect, for the wicked. The Bible says he made his grave with the wicked. Why? Because without him, you'll never see God. Do you understand that Jesus Christ is God and that he came, that God came in the flesh and died for your sins? Why? Because that's the only way you could have been forgiven. That's the only possible way. So man wasn't looking for God. No, man wouldn't even obey the first covenant that was given him. And the second covenant, Jesus Christ came in his body to die on the cross for sinners. Why? Because God was looking to save man's soul. God wanted reconciliation with man. So he sent his only begotten Son. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. God cannot dwell with sin. The Bible says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Do you understand that? That you can't enter into heaven without anything that defileth, anything with sin on it. So Jesus Christ came to bring us to God. That we could be brought into the presence of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood atonement paved the way for you and I. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. God's law is strict. God's law is very, it's unmovable. Do you understand that? He won't change it for you. You say, well, I'm a religious person. I've done these things. I've done that. Doesn't matter. God won't change his law for you. God won't bend the rules. There's no rules to be bent. No, if you understand what Jesus Christ did on the cross, you will understand that he fulfilled all righteousness, that every aspect of that law was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Every single aspect. Why? Because God was not going to move an inch. Because he's holy and he's righteous. And the only thing acceptable to God is holiness and righteousness. That's it. There is nothing else acceptable to God. So God had to come in the flesh and die so man could be acceptable to him. That's the truth of the gospel, friend. The Bible says this in verse number 4, and I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Listen, friend, that's what we have. But in verse number 11, those that are lost, this is what they have. And I saw a great white throne. A great white throne, and saw and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. Listen, friend, there's no place for you to hide from God. Do you understand that? They listen to me. Jesus Christ came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And listen to me. You cannot hide from the judgment of God. There is no grave that can bury you deep enough. There is no depth of hell that can sink you low enough. There is no flight that you can take high enough to get away from God. You will never get away from the judgment of God. If you do not accept his Son, you will perish in your sins for all of eternity. There's no place to hide. You who are on earth now, you who have the truth now, you understand this, young people, understand it well. You can't hide from the judgment of God. You can't hide behind your mommy, and you can't hide behind your daddy, and you can't hide behind this church. You can't hide behind anything. You need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from your sins. And if you don't have that blood upon you, I can do nothing for you. Your mom and dad can do nothing for you. No. No one can. Your husband, your wife, no one can do a thing for you. You will die in your sins. And you will go to a devil's hell. And your parents will stand before God and they will bear witness against you that you had the truth and you rejected the truth and you would not receive the love of the truth that you might be saved. Listen to me. This preacher will bear witness against you. I don't want to do that. Understand that. It's very serious. This is no laughing matter. It's no game. I'm as serious as a heart attack. I'm as serious as eternity. For it is appointed unto man once to die. I don't care how young you are. Don't think you have your whole life. Because you don't. You don't have 1 second of breath longer than God gives you. And you don't know when that is. Don't play games with God. I don't care how religious you were. I don't care if you grew up in a Baptist home. I don't care if your daddy's a preacher. None of it matters. Nothing matters. What matters is the blood of Christ upon your soul. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Because this is the truth of God's judgment. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Small and great, my friend, doesn't matter. The littlest man, I mean in stature in this world that nobody cares about. The poor drunk that we see when we're out preaching. The man that has no shoes on his feet. The man that is freezing, that is starving. That man is considered in this world a small man. But that small man will still go to hell. He needs the blood of Jesus Christ upon his soul. Doesn't matter. Even to the smallest young person in this room that understands the truth and sees their sin and knows they're a sinner and they're wicked before God. That's you right there, friend. You put your name there if you're not saved. You put your name there right now as the small. You put your name there as the small because that's you. Small. I saw the small and great stand before God. The great. All the great. How about this? All the great men of stature in the world today. No matter what you've done. Hey, you might be a president. Hey, you might be a lawyer, a doctor. You might be a wealthy man. You might be a man that is revered by many. And you might be a preacher. You might be a pastor. You might be a street preacher. You might be a deacon. You might be any of those things. But if you're one of those great men, you're going to stand before him there. At that white throne. But you know what? The books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. No place to hide, friend. Listen closely. Lost sinner, listen closely. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Even those people that are lost and dead in hell that died. They're going to be brought up out of hell to stand before the judge of all the earth. And they will stand there and they will have that brief moment out of hell when they will stand there in front of him. And then they will be cast in the lake of fire for all of eternity. But they will stand before the God that they rejected. And if that's you and you're under the sound of my voice, my friend, you better fear. And you better fear right now. You say, I don't like that fear stuff. Good. Like it. Love it. You better love it. Because this is the mercy of God right here to warn you. This is God's mercy to warn you. Because you won't be able to hide from him. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. The lake of fire. As if hell was not hot enough, as if hell was not bad enough, you will be brought out of hell to be delivered to the lake of fire for all of eternity. Do you understand that eternity never ends? It's forever. Do you understand that that will be your eternal abode forever? That's where you will be forever. For rejecting the Son of God. For letting pride get in your way. Because you don't want to bow the knee to Jesus Christ. For letting pride get in your way. You will spend an eternity in the lake of fire. And whosoever was not written, found written in the book of life, was cast in the lake of fire. Is your name there? Will it be blotted out? Are you saved? Christ came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The law condemns, Jesus Christ makes free. If the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Next, the Bible says, being put to death in the flesh, quickened by the Spirit. Put to death in the flesh. Do you understand this is the willingness of Christ to lay down his life? Do you understand that no man took his life, but he laid it down? Do you understand that? You're a sinner and guilty before God, and Jesus Christ, what did he do? He willingly crawled up on that cross to die for your sins. He could have called legions of angels down. He could have came off the cross himself. And the devil tempted him to. The devil tempted him to come off the cross. The Pharisees got up there, and the spirit of Antichrist that was in them got up there. What'd they say? If you be the Son of God, then come down off that cross and show us, and we'll believe you. What was that? That was Satan's temptation. But remember what the Bible says. But he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He didn't come off that cross. He stayed and did the will of his Father and gave his life a ransom for yours. Again, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what he did. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Do you understand that Jesus Christ allowed them to spit on him? No one forced him. Do you realize that they pulled his beard out? They ripped his beard out of his face. Do you realize that? Do you realize they beat him with a cat of nine tails? Why? What did he do wrong? Nothing. You did the wrong. You're the sinner. You did the wrong. That's just it. That's what you don't understand. It was the just for the unjust. The just took your punishment. And friend, there's no other way to be saved. For Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. Listen, you can't do an end road around the cross. You can't. You either come through the blood or you don't come at all, friend. You don't come through your mama. You don't come through your daddy. You don't come through your preacher. You don't come through your church. You don't come through your good works. You either come through the blood or you don't come at all. Because God is not going to allow his Son to be smitten twice. Once and for all. And never again will anyone treat that sinless, perfect Lamb of God that way. Don't take for granted what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. Don't wink at that. Don't think you have all the time in the world to accept it. Hey, my life, I got all the time. Someday I'll do it. Someday I'll get saved. Someday. Someday may never come. Someday may never come. Your day may be today, your last day on this earth. You see, you're trying to scare me. Yep, I hope it's working. I sure hope I do. I hope the Holy Ghost of God drives it straight into your heart right now. I sincerely hope so, by the grace of God, that you would come under conviction if you're lost, that you would beg Christ to save your soul, that you would fall on your knees in repentance and faith and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is able to save your soul. He willingly did that. Willingly. So the Bible says he was put to death in the flesh. That's right. We know that he was buried. We know that he was buried in a borrowed man's tomb. We know that he was taken. He didn't even have a tomb. He didn't have, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He had no place to lay his head. But what was he? He was given a borrowed man's tomb. And he was buried there in that man's tomb. And then 3 days later, the Bible says he was quickened by the Spirit of God. Do you understand? That's the victory that we have. That's the victory comes through the resurrection. That's that resurrection power. You say, yeah, but you don't understand what I've done in my life. You don't understand how wicked I've been. man, you don't understand. Maybe you've been a child molester. Maybe you've been a rapist. Maybe you've been a murderer. Maybe you've been a thief, a liar, anything. Maybe you've done the most wicked, awful things in this world. And I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ can make thee whole. He can forgive your sin, and He can cleanse you of your unrighteousness, and He can save your soul. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've done, doesn't matter what you've done. See, you don't even understand what I've done. I don't have to. Jesus does, because He died for that sin. You better start looking at Jesus. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You better look to Jesus. You say, I've done the most wicked, awful things in this world. Well, then you're guilty before God. All the more reason for you to bow the knee and come to Christ who can forgive your sins. Bible says that He was put to death in the flesh, but He was quickened by the Spirit. He was made alive by the Spirit. Amen. He was brought back from the dead. Amen. So the grave had no hold on Him. Do you understand that? And that's why the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 that they are dead twice. It says this is the second death. If you don't get born again, then you die twice. If you get born again by the Spirit of God and you get saved and your sins forgiven, then guess what? You only die once. Mm-hmm. You only die once, but you live for eternity in the house of the Lord forever. That's the promise of God. Jesus laid down His life. He said, I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. Do you understand that? He had power. But He gave His life. Revelation chapter 10. Excuse me, Romans chapter 10. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 10. The Bible says in verse number 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that's saying, you are Lord. Jesus, I'm confessing with my mouth, Jesus, that you are Lord. What does that mean? That means what the Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That denotes repentance. That means I'm humble and I say, you are Lord. You are right about me. That's a confession. That's saying, Lord, you are right about me. I am a lost, wicked sinner, and I do deserve to go to hell. I do deserve to rot in hell for all of eternity. You say, how can something burn forever? Well, how did the bush burn forever? The bush kept burning. It didn't burn up. How? Amen? Because God is a shield. Amen? That's how. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What is this saying here? It's saying it's the heart. It's the heart. It's your heart turned towards God. It's your heart that understands that you are a sinner and that you deserve to go to hell. Listen, my friend, if you're to the sound of my voice and you've never confessed that you were lost, well, you cannot be saved until you're lost. That is one thing I've talked to many sinners about, and many, many people that have grown up in churches their whole life and everything else. I said this prayer. Yeah, but was there ever a time that you admitted and confessed to God that you were a lost, hell-deserving sinner? Because Jesus Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And if you have never been lost, then you cannot be saved. You're not going to walk up to God and stick a gun to His head and demand Him to save you. You're not going to walk up to Him and do that. No, you either come humble and you come contrite and you come with a broken heart. You say, God, I have sinned against you. I am everything that you said I was. I'm as wicked as you ever said I was. And God, I confess it with my mouth. I know that I'm a sinner and I'm guilty before you. The Bible says that the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Right? It says that every mouth may be stopped and that all the world may become guilty before God. That's what the law has preached. What does the law say? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Right? Thou shalt not make of thee any graven image. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Now, if you've broken one of these, you've broken all of them. You're guilty of the whole law. And your punishment is death and hell for all of eternity. That's the punishment that you receive. Because you are unjust. And the just came to die for the unjust, that he might bring them to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And because he lives, you can understand this one thing. You can believe the Bible. God's word is true. What God's word says is that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall believe in that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's not only believing in your heart, but it's confessing with your mouth. That's that crying out to God. Woe is me, for I am undone. See, God is attracted to a humble and contrite spirit. The Bible says he will not despise that. If you come broken to God, he'll fix you. If you think you're fixed, nothing will change. Until you realize your lost condition before God and how absolutely defiling and disgusting you are to God. You know, there might be some of you here today and some of you that listen online. There might be some of you think you're a pretty good person because you grew up in a Christian home. I'm here to tell you, you're as rotten as hell. Amen. If hell had a stench, it'd be all over you. See, I don't like hearing that, preacher. I know you don't, but that's the best thing I could ever do for you is to tell you the truth. I don't want you to think that you have some kind of grandfather clause into heaven because you grew up in a church or you went somewhere. You know, listen to me. Truth be known, there are more Baptists that are going to be in hell than probably anybody, anywhere. And I believe that. I really do. And I believe there's going to be more fundamentalists in hell than any other religion. Why? Because they've never confessed their lost condition. They've never been lost. They've never turned from their sin and believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have believed that they're somehow acceptable to God because of the way they grew up. And listen to me, my friend. I want to destroy and dispel all that understanding that you have. And I want to destroy that theory that you have in your mind. You are not better off than that wicked, drunk, derelict, prostitute, whore out there. You are just as guilty as they are. And if you die, you will go to a devil's hell for all of eternity. Amen. You're not any better. So I grew up and my mom and dad raised me right. That's wonderful, but that ain't going to save your soul, friend. You will die and go to hell. You know what? What did Jesus say to the Pharisees and the scribes? They thought they had it pretty well. We're not like these publicans. What did he say? He said those publicans and harlots will enter into the kingdom of heaven before you do. Amen. Why? Because they beat and they smote their chest and they say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. And let me ask you, young person, let me ask you, old person, when's the last time you beat your chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? Because if it's never happened, you're going to die in your sins. I don't care. You could have said 1,000 prayers in your life, friend. But if you've never been lost, you can't be found. And I care too much for your soul to let you go on deceived. The Bible says we are dead in trespasses and sins. And for the wages of sin is death. Dead already. It scares me to think that in our churches and in our children may grow up to be walking zombies, dead men. Dead men walking. I don't want it to be because I didn't preach it hard enough, or I didn't pray enough for you, or I didn't tell you the truth, or I let you be deceived. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a witness against you at the great white throne. I don't want to be. I want you to receive the love of the truth that you might be saved. The Bible is very clear. Two things. Number one, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And number two, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Those are God's requirements. And they haven't changed. You go from Genesis all the way to Revelation and you will find the same requirements. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That God sent forth His Son to die on the cross for sinners. Jesus said the same thing. He said the same thing. Turn to Luke chapter 9. I want you to see the words. That's all written by God. This whole book is God's. Amen. But I want to show you in Luke chapter 9. I want to show you Luke chapter 9, verse number 22. Jesus said this, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day." Sounds like the gospel, doesn't it? It is, friend. It is the gospel. There's your first witness. Your second witness comes from the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10, verse number 9 and 10, the same thing. And then you could take Isaiah chapter 53. You have a witness all over the Bible of that Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. And this is the one I preach to you, Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. My friend, if you are lost today, the wrath of God is upon you. And you can't hide from God. You can't. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what you think, what you've been through. I've had people tell me, "Well, I've been through a lot and God got me through it." Okay, that's wonderful. And I don't even doubt that God didn't get you through it. But He got you through it to a time that you'd confess that you're a sinner and fall upon your knees and repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why God got you through that. All right. If you are here under the sound of my voice, God has brought you here out of His mercy. If you hear this online, if you hear it on a CD, if you hear it anyway, this is the mercy of God. You think strongly about that. God loved you so much that He sent forth His only begotten Son. And all the love of God is found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And I beg you today in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. I don't know when your day of your death is, and you don't know when mine is. But I can tell you one thing. It's coming, because it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. And you're either going to be at one of two places. You're going to stand before that white throne judgment and be cast into the lake of fire. Or you will stand at the judgment seat of Christ and receive rewards. That's the only thing that I can tell you. The only thing I can preach to you is none other thing than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all that I can preach to you. And I beg you today, if you're not saved, if you have never been saved, if you have never confessed your lost condition before God, if you have never done that, then receive the love of the truth that you might be saved. Because, my friend, there is strong delusion coming. There is strong, the Bible talks of strong delusion that will come upon the whole world. And it'll deceive the whole world. And it would deceive even the very elect, if it were possible. They would even be deceived, the Bible says. The Bible says that they're deceived because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. The Bible says this. It says the Antichrist is coming. Even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. My friend, I'm warning you, deception is coming. Turn to the cross today. Turn to Christ today and have your sins forgiven today. Cry out to Him. Fall on your knees with a humble and contrite heart. And believe the gospel. Turn from your sins and believe the gospel that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again from the dead. And by Him you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. It is a promise of God. that if you will turn to Him and you will repent and you will believe the gospel, He will save your soul. Because the Bible says He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession. Please, don't harden your heart. Humble your heart. This could be the greatest day of your life. I pray it will be. Father, Lord, thank You. Lord, I pray wherever this goes, wherever this truth goes, Lord, that it would sink into the hearts of people, Lord, and that they would receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Lord, we know delusion is coming. We know that strong delusion is already here. There's so many cults or so many things. But Lord, I brought nothing but the gospel today, nothing but the truth of the gospel so plainly spoken in Your word. And Lord, I pray that sinners would hear this. And they'd come under that conviction of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and see that they are lost and they need Jesus Christ to forgive their sins. And Lord, that they might be saved. Lord, You died for us, the just for the unjust. Lord, that You might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Thank You, Lord, for Your sacrifice for me on Calvary. Thank You, Lord, that because You live, we'll live also. Help those that hear this, Lord, convict sinners, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.